good evening, everyone, and welcome to Take-Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host. And joining me today as my co-host, of course, is David. I mean, sometimes we have Sabina, but I think it's David this time. Right, David?
Let me check. Yep, it's David.
Good,
how are
good.
You? It's nice to be back.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I want to do, too. I want to thank all of our listeners for their patience while we took a couple months off of Take-Two Radio. And thank you for coming back to join us once again. We just needed a break. It's been a couple years for me doing the show and another show and another show. So I had to have a break and take care of things at home as well. There's one other thing I'd like to mention, that is, although most of the world is saddened by the loss of Robin Williams, there's a few out there that feel the need to attack him and his family because he committed suicide. And I want to say, unless you're in Robin's head or in his shoes, when he committed suicide, you don't know what he was thinking about or not thinking about. That's something that sometimes cannot be controlled. Depression is a disease, as well as other factors were indicated of why he did this, and most recently because of Parkinson's disease. And some people get the help that they need that works. Others get help, but it doesn't always work. So please just allow his family to grieve and don't attack them with your negativity and your words, because words do hurt. It's not the old days of sticks and stones will break my bones and names won't hurt me, because with the internet and social media, it can get really bad. So I want to thank you for that, and thank you for allowing me to say that. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and get back to the positive things, and we're going to welcome a man of many hats. He's an actor, a writer, producer, and director. Welcome, James C. Burns.
Hey,
yay.
Guys, good to be there.
Hey.
Yay. It's an ominous intro. Oh, my God. It's going to be a long show. Yeah. Wow.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us again. You're always welcome here, and this is your third time joining us, which is a good thing because that means you have things that you are doing that you want to promote.
I want to talk about the word promoting is a little strong. I want to talk about the fun projects that I had the privilege of being involved in. How's that?
Okay.
Diplomatic? But I have
that
people tell them how to talk now. Because I make so many blunders in these things. They say, okay, here's the script you got to stick to, so you don't make any mistakes anymore. So I'm talking about things that have, some of the mistakes I've made talking on these shows are just astounding. You know, everywhere from like blue language to just revealing pieces of information that should not be out in public. So I've been trained. I've been media trained. I've been swatted on the nose with newspaper. So.
And you know the media, not necessarily me or David or anybody else that's involved with my show, will try to poke you more and more to get out of you what's going on with something that you shouldn't talk about. And just sometimes you slip up. So, you know, you go on.
even when you don't slip up, sometimes it's just like people just take things and make up headlines, and then it's like there's no evidence, no substantiation. It's just like, you know, Call of Duty star reveals Black Ops 3 plotline. Like, no, I just said, gosh, it'd be great to see what they're going to do. You know, it's just, you know, this business of being online is about popularity. It's a real just popularity kind, and more looks, the more hits you get, the more visibility you get. So creating headlines is kind of the way to go. I mean, if you go to YouTube, you know, best, you know, the best, the worst, all these tags, and people are taught how to use these tags, and it makes for a very difficult cultivating of information online now. You got to sift through a lot of things to find what you need to know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I do, too, when I'm putting together questions for an interview, is I read a lot of different things and go on YouTube and wherever else I need to go, somebody's website, to see the most up-to-date information, and only hope that when I do ask a question about something that it is true and it's something they could talk about.
Right.
That's the hard part for me, too.
That is deeply appreciated, Pam. That's why I keep coming back time and time again.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, you know, speaking of Call of Duty Black Ops, and here's a thing that I saw a tweet about, and that was a trailer for Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Is that what's supposed to be Black Ops number 3, or is this a different kind of thing?
No, no, no. What happened is, since technology is making all these quantum leaps, a video game takes 2 years to create from from imagination to final game. And technology is advancing so rapidly that to do the justice of the game with the technology, it takes 2 or 3 years now. So they Activision brought on a third production company each game now has 3 years for development. So the Black Ops series, whatever they do next, they have 3 years. And now Modern Warfare, which is done by Infinity Ward, they've got 3 years. Then Sledgehammer has been brought in. They've been working on this for 2 years now. So instead of having two teams doing alternating years, you have three teams or three production companies making a game every 3 years. So that gives just more time to make a better game. And adjust to what's happening next. And the controllers are changing. We're going into VR, virtual reality. That's going to deeply affect the gaming, how gamers actually interact with the programs in the game itself. So there's a lot of changes going to happen in the next 4 to 5 years in the gaming community.
And it all flies over my head because the last game I played was Ms. Pac-Man or Space Invaders or something. So. I'm sure all the gamers out there understand that.
Let's put it this way. The what's happening in the next 3 or 4 years will make the technology we have today feel like Ms. Pac-Man. That's how big a leap is coming down the pike in terms of what the capabilities and what our platform is going to be in 2020.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I know that excites all the gamers out there, but it doesn't necessarily excite the parents, knowing that they have to buy something else to keep up with the Joneses.
Well, funny thing is, I think that in 2020, the parents of these kids are going to be gamers themselves. I mean, the guys who started gaming back in 2000 and 2002, they're going to be having kids by that time. So I think
that's true.
Music. Music, our generation, we're not stuck on our old music. We like, what's new. We have a broader idea of what we like for music. And contemporary music is as good as the Beatles. And that's a function of how we grew up. And I think in the gaming community, it's going to be such a part of their parents' life that, they're going to play the same games their kids are going to play. They're going to have the same interest in terms of that. So I think that's just going to be another quantum shift in how we perceive entertainment and, as an activity.
Yeah, that's true. And the kids will be less wanting to go over by Grandma's house because Grandma still has Pac-Man.
Because Grandma still has an Xbox One. Oh, I don't know, everyone uses the virtual reality simulator immersion, technology.
Yeah, it's funny, but you have to go because things are always going to change. They're not going to stay the same, so... It's funny. You just either accept it or, you just don't get involved at all with it from the first place.
True.
Now,
David, you don't get a word in edgewise here. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yes, he does. He has some questions for you. As a matter of fact, David, you can go ahead and ask your first question.
Thank you. Hold on a minute.
See, he's not prepared.
All right. Yep, I have him. Hold on. I just want to say, what are the similarities and differences between Sergeant Frank Woods and James C. Burns?
David.
You let him talk. Now what happened?
As an actor, you build your characters on what you know, and so there's a lot of elements in Woods. It's entirely built on experiences I've had, and you take that and you drop that character into a circumstance. Now remember, this is all fantasy, so no one's shooting bullets at me. So I can take all this arrogance, bravado that I have, you know, sitting in my little room and drop it into a video game because it's not reality. I mean, but you can still have this bravado. So there's a lot of what you see in Wood that comes just from me sitting in my room and say, oh, I'd like to be this today, you know. And being an actor, you get the opportunity to play these different elements of your personality that in the real world you'd go to jail for most of the time. So
right. It's
that's a joke. It's just a laugh at that. and so that, you know, so Woods is built on a lot of personality aspects, and then he gets amplified by the environment you put it in. Again, if you see the split screen stuff we do, you see the how we shoot it, and it's a very austere, it's very, you know, very safe environment. And then in the game, it's a war. You know, it's a combat environment. So the visuals around the performance sort of enhance what you see. But in answer to your question, you know, his building blocks are pretty much, you know, different parts of me that I get to play at certain times.
Well, that works. I mean, there's not a lot of people that can do that other than fantasize in their head something, you know, and you get to actually put it out there in a game, you know.
Well, Pim, when I do seminars, I tell young actors, I say, look, acting is very simple. Have you ever had a situation where you're yelling at your mother and she's not in the room, or she's in your head, and you have an argument
mm-hmm.
with
yes.
a friend or a girlfriend, and you're yelling at them and they're nowhere to be found, but it's very real? Well, that's just what kind of acting is. You build this, you get this engine going in your head, and you start believing. It's almost like being psychotic, but under control. You know, you
right.
really have this, you start believing all these voices in your head, and next thing you know, you're there. You're responding to things that really aren't there. But it feels very real to you while it's happening.
Exactly. And that's a great way to put it. I mean, that's pretty clear for people to understand.
Yeah. It's a type of visual insanity. So there you go.
Yeah.
if you're not pretty,
yep.
don't be an actor. Seriously. You
know? Well, now with us talking about Sergeant Frank Woods, I have to bring up another Frank because that's
mm-hmm.
the name you have in your new movie, Coldwater. It's Colonel Frank, is it Reichert?
Reichert, yeah. Colonel, the Colonel. We call him the Colonel. We don't waste time on names. The Colonel.
No. You know?
mm-hmm. Let's talk about
Colonel. Well, also in the movie is PJ, and I don't know how to say his last name, so I don't want to mess it up.
Oh, my God, it's Boudiske, but I have mangled his name so many times, and we are South by Southwest. And this kid's like a friend of mine. You know, we've been together like, through shooting, and I have mangled that name so many times. So finally, yeah, Boudiske. Like, all right. Boudiske. Boudiske. You know, Boudiske. It's French.
Yeah. Well, now you'll never forget it, so...
Yes, yes. Yes, self-humiliation is a very good way to keep your memory intact, you know?
Right. Well, tell us more about Coldwater and your role in it.
Coldwater, it's the summer's lighthearted comedy. It must go see. another
yeah.
joke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
That's a joke,
here.
Too.
it's going to leave an impact. It's going to leave a mark. It's, you know, as I keep saying, it's going to shake your tree a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a drama. It's a heavy subject. It's a subject. You know, entertainment. We do one of two things. We entertain or we educate. You know, this business. It's either or. So films either educate you or there to entertain you. And
right.
this crosses lines. Like it's designed to create an awareness. It's about a very remote juvenile rehabilitation center run by a retired Marine colonel named, you know, Colonel Frank Reichert. And in comes this young man who's having issues. He's on the edge. He's a bit of a criminal, small time but getting bigger. There's a few events that have tragic results, and his mother, out of concern, she hires this camp to come collect him in the middle of the night and basically try to fix him because he's going down a really bad path. And again, he's not an innocent kid. This is a kid who really belongs in a place like this. He's in trouble. And so he runs into the colonel, and the colonel is a man who really has a lot of confidence, and he firmly believes that he has the ability to transform these troubled young men into upstanding citizens, because he had done it for 20 years in the Marine Corps, and he has a technique, and he understands how these young men think and what they need, and he applies himself to it. And his intentions are very, very genuine and very much, you know, for the best interest of each young man in his charge. The issue is he doesn't add into the equation that when he was in the Marine Corps, he had this institution around him, this massive structure, and all his subordinates were basically pretty much trained as he was. They knew pretty much what he did. So when he gave an order, he would expect it would be followed out to his liking. It'd be, you know, it would be very much what he would ask them to do would be what they were able to do and what they would follow through on. The problem is when he transitioned out of the military into civilian life, all that structure just goes away. And he made miscalculations, so the men he hired to be his staff, his subordinates, they weren't him. They didn't have his training. And so a lot of things got lost in translation. Things that were firmness and authority were to be implemented, they saw as abuse, as an opportunity to, you know, to do power. And so basically his miscalculation of the people around him and the environment and motivation of the kids involved, he miscalculated that, and that just called it became a crisis, and the whole situation just evolved into chaos and a really horrific ending.
Oh wow!
But basically, you know, the kid Brad Lunders and the colonel are pretty much the same person. Pretty much they have the same experience. Both of them have this flaw. They don't see how their choices are impacting the world around them, and they just keep trying to make you, you know, force the issue. I'm right, and if you just listen to me, it'd be okay. What, you know, and that forceful idea what I'm doing is right, and if you're in the way, then you're expendable. You're fighting me as to what I do. It's what's good for me, and without understanding that, no, you're not taking in the damage you're doing. You're not taking in the result your choices are creating for you. And that's pretty much the same experience the colonel has and the kid. So it's a real study in human behavior and how good intentions turn very bad very quickly.
Yeah, and I think too about the two worlds colliding, you know, being in the Marine Corps for 20 years and then getting out. I mean, that's a reality of today. And yesteryear, even, you know, when somebody spends time in the military like that and they come out and you hear about them having problems adjusting, even though they came from the same side, you know, before they went into the military, it's a whole different story once you experience that and come out of it.
Well, part of the reason I chose, the idea was that I spent a lot of time talking to military personnel with the USO and things. And the biggest conversation point about when you transition out of the military into civilian life is, you know, in the military, if you have a toothache, you tell your sergeant, he tells his, you know, CO, and you have an appointment the same day. You know, if you need to talk to somebody about finances, you know, everything you need is provided for you, as long as you do your job. If your job is a fuel transfer engineer or you're a cook, that's your job. And if you need something, that's someone else's job. So you go, like, you tell your sergeant, I need a lawyer. I need to talk about some finance problems. Okay, there's somebody in the Army who handles that, and that's their job. So it's a well-organized, well-structured, well-run machine. As much as there's this idea that the military is kind of is screwed up, it's not. It functions very highly, and the people who are there are really good at their jobs. But that creates a vacuum when someone, you know, transitions out of the military. From one day they have, you know, they're told, you go here, there's your seat, get on that plane, go here, sweet. You know, it's a very simple life. You just follow your orders and do what you're supposed to do. All of a sudden you get off the plane and you get your papers and you're done. Now what? How do you find a doctor? How do you find a dentist? How do you set up a bank account? How do you, you know, how do you, all the stuff that's been sort of provided for you is now gone, and unless you're getting some kind of transition training, it's a daunting task. How do you strike up a conversation with, you know, there's all these things that you are sort of not doing while in the military. You've got to, it's like a crash course you got to have. And that's really the biggest issue I find with young men coming back from the military. It's like, how do you transition back to life? How do you find a dentist? How do you find a doctor? How do I get a school loan? You know, how do I set up a bank account? Because that's all been done for 4, 5, or 6 years since they're 18, 19 years old. And that's kind of something I want to really, you know, have. And it's not just the young guys. It's like the older guys come back and they have this, you know, these the command structure. And they give an order. They can trust that. If you're currently, you give an order to a first lieutenant, chances are it's going to be carried out exactly, you know, it's going to be done exactly as you told them. Because everyone, you know, so you have this ability to give commands and give them instantly, and your ideas work because everyone's on the same page. Well, find that in civilian life. It's very rare to find a group of people moving in the same direction with the same intensity, the same desire to get something accomplished. It's like a sports team. Everyone says the same thing. Wow, what do you miss? I miss the locker room. I miss, you know, 53 guys trying to do the same thing. And that's really hard to find in daily life. I mean, we all look for that, for community, right?
Yeah, even in your own family, too. I mean, they may not be on the same page as you are, and that's why there's a lot of divorces once they come out of there, because they just don't know how to interact even with their own family, and that's pretty sad. And I think that is something that should have been instituted a long time ago, some kind of transition class or somebody to lead you along the way, at least give you the few steps that you need to start interacting and start thinking on your own and doing things on your own.
Well, I think that it shouldn't be limited to the military. I think that's something you should learn freshman year in high school. Life skills. So many kids don't get to go to college or don't get to go to the military. You got to know how to, you know, do your life. Do you know how to cook for yourself? Can you wash your own clothes? Can you, do you know how to set up a phone service? I mean, just things like this I think it's part of our education system that it's really been, back in the day, what was it called? We had like home ec, you had shop, you had all these like really hands-on opportunities in school, but they've gone away. As if it's almost demeaning to work with your hands or to be able to take care of yourself. It's almost like, well, you know, that's not okay to have that skill. And I think it's a big loss. I think people really fail mostly because they don't know how to do these simple things that are just your basic structure in life, your foundation for having a decent life.
That's so very true, because you had your parents doing that for you beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We try to teach our children as much as we can so that they can be a constructive adult, but, you know, it doesn't always stick in their heads until later on when they're stuck in that situation, like, uh-oh, what do I do now? Well, they pick up the phone and they call mom.
Yeah. And a lot of times, too, you it's so difficult to make ends meet that you have to basically buy your kids off by doing a form. Oh, my God, here, let me do it. I don't have time for you. You know, you don't have time to really educate them how to do certain things. Like, oh, here's a TV. Just watch this for an hour so I can get this done over here.
Right.
And that becomes a, you know, play this video game so I can go out and do this. And it becomes a big issue that it's, you're really not passing on basic life self-caring skills onto your kids. And it's no one's fault. It's just, you really got to make a conscious effort. Okay, does my kid know how to, you know, set up a bank account? Does he know how to set up a phone account? These are things that are hard for us to do, right? You got to get in line with Google or AT&T for 3 hours. Like, how do you get your kid to do that with the attention span of a rat? You know, like, it's a challenge. It's a real challenge.
I completely agree with you, and it's sad, but hopefully, you know, there's enough parents out there or people that are leaving the military that they have enough help around them to be able to adjust. So, but I think this is a very powerful movie, both entertaining and educational-wise, and it may open up a lot of eyes for people out there that don't realize that these things actually do happen in real life.
Well,
David, I think you... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, that was the basis of script. And when Vincent started doing this project 10 years ago, I think he actually had either been involved in a situation like this or had one of his friends actually, which they were taken away in this fashion and terrible things happened. So the scary part is it's an unregulated industry. There's no oversight. So when things go wrong, there's no reporting service. There's no way to keep records. There's no way to really keep track of who's doing what. And so abuses go unchecked. And, you know, it's a lot of times it's just about money. It's like, you know, these places often turn into just storage areas for, kids who have issues.
Right.
And they just, you know, they keep them in line, keep them there, and just they collect checks because, you know, they're like almost like Lord of the Flies, almost unwanted children. Now, have you seen the film yet? Have you had a chance to see it yet? Did they send you a screener?
No, all I got to see was the trailer.
Right. Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
It's on iTunes tomorrow night. Yeah, it's on iTunes starting on the 15th, and it's really worth watching. It's important. I've showed it to a few directors, friends of mine, and they all say it's a very important film. It's got a lot to say.
Yeah, it did very well overseas, from what I understand, in France and that. It was very welcomed and did very well. And it when it opens tomorrow on iTunes, it's supposed to be in select theaters, isn't it?
I think we're in Phoenix, we're in New York, Boston, L.A., Chicago, Phoenix, and three or four other cities, yeah. I mean, it's a small opening. It's mostly very high-end art house theaters, the Sundance theaters, and, hopefully it does well and expands to other theaters, but it's not that big a film in terms of being in the summer blockbuster wheelhouse. You know, you got Spider-Man and all these, you know, Wolverine, all these huge movies
month
of summer. It's a small film to be launched this time of year, but it's thank God for these small art houses, these really small independent, film houses that cater to these kind of films. Because we'd miss a lot. I mean, there'd be a lot of great film work we'd never get to see weren't for these smaller places. So if it's near you, go support your local art movie house.
Well, I'm in Chicago, so I'll have to see where it's going to be in Chicago. I'd love to go see it.
If you go to my website, you should find it on my website. There should be a list.
Is it
of
on
all
there?
If you click on the cold water thing, there's Chicago, I think. Yeah, it's definitely in Chicago, though, so it opens up. And then we're in Toronto. We start Toronto on the 22nd, and we premiered tonight in downtown L.A. at the called the Independent Film Theater, and then we come up to Hollywood on the 22nd. And again, these are a 2-week run in each of these, and hopefully we get a good buzz and it gets going, and some people come turn out to see the film.
Oh, I think so. I definitely think so. I would go and tell everybody after I saw it. I mean, I've just been showing people the trailer as it is, but once I see the movie, hopefully I can get some people to go with me. Now, David, you had a question about Cold Water.
Yeah, I had. I said, you had just said that it's a movie that actually shakes the roots of your tree. So how has it affected you while filming it?
This is the beauty of the business I'm in, whereas you're portraying some horrible acts on screen. You need to, for as horrible as the act may appear on screen, the caring and consideration and camaraderie has to match it on the other side. Because without that trust, you can't trust each other to do this kind of work. And what they did really well with Dave Gehr and Joe Bellotta, the producers, did really, really well, and Vincent, is they created an environment where it became a tremendous camaraderie. We were shooting at a a summer camp up in Malibu in the hills, and we were isolated. So basically, we're 25 miles from the city. We're, you know, 5 miles from the beach. We're up in the hills, and there's nothing else around except us in the summer camp. And so we spent all our time. Everybody lived in the barracks. We ate together in the mess hall. There's a basketball court. I mean, it was summer camp, and we were just kind of with each other constantly. And it's a testament to Vincent's eye as a director and casting kids who are just really right for the roles. A lot of these guys are first-timers, but they all really want to do a good job at it. So everybody was in their talented group. I mean, PJ is great. Chris Petrosky he's amazing. Octavius Johnson, Nick Bateman. There's not a weak character in the movie, and there's not a less than a great performance. Everyone does a great job. I mean, it's like, oh my God, it's, every character you meet, it's like everybody's rocking it. And that's just, I think that's really due to the fact that you're immersed in this world and you have this, everybody supporting each other. And if it's a tough scene, you stay longer. You know, if it's going well, you let everybody know. Like, it's a very supportive environment, and so to answer your question, it just further convinced me that this is where I want to be. This is how I want to work. These are the kind of environments I want to be in when I do projects. As far as like some kind of esoteric or some sociological impact, I was a hockey coach for 20 years. I've had great successes. I've had terrible failures working with kids at risk. You know, there's some kids who are just doing great, some kids who have lost their lives. And what you learn and what I try to bring to the kernel in telling a story is that you can't change somebody. You can't take somebody and shake them hard enough to get them to understand what they need to do next. You can only present them with options and hope they want it. Because once you take your hands off the reins, they're going to go back to where they were. So you just wasted all this time and energy. So you have to have the courage to let someone fail and hit bottom, because there's no way you can make somebody change, do something they don't want to do. You know, if somebody wants to drink or use drugs, there's nothing you can do to shame them out of it. They got to want to do it. You can take credit for saying, I forced them, but that's crap. You know what I mean? Someone's got to want to transform. They got to want to change. If they don't, then you're really just, throwing good energy against the wall. And that's what I walk away from this, knowing even further, it's just the truth. You can't force somebody, because then you just become crazy like they are. You're trying to get somebody not to drink, and you get so obsessive that you're now the problem. You can't stop this.
That's true.
You get obsessive. And it's like, and that's what I want you to see from the kernel, like this kind of compulsive behavior. It's on both sides of the coin. It's the person who's the addict or with the behavioral problem, and then the person's trying to fix it. I'm going to make you better. Well, that's not even feasible.
Right. That's so true. Sad but true. You wish you could do a lot more, even, again, as parents. We try to teach them right from wrong, and it's up to them once they leave the house and consider themselves an adult on which road they're going to choose.
Yeah, I agree.
So with action movies and black ops, I'm curious to know, when people, and especially the kids, meet you, say, in the streets or at a theater or wherever you are doing your laundry, do they walk up to you and say hi? Do they say, call you by Sergeant Frank Woods or James? Are they in awe? Are they in fear?
All the above.
It's
as individual as the kid. I've had people walking, Woods, in the middle of a theater, Woods, it's Woods. I've had kids in the concession stand just kind of stare at me, like, then the manager comes over, and it's like, oh my God, it's Woods. And other people have the grandmothers walk up and say, oh my God, I've been listening to you for 2 years now. I hate you. I mean, there's no one reaction, and that's the beauty of it, is that, as an actor, you get paid for one of two things. You get paid for your skill in telling a story. That means you can take the story from point A to point B, or you can take a character to its paces. And that's one way you can make a – maybe you can make a living doing that. But if you can draw attention to a project, you have a career. And so for me to have become visible like that just means that it's, oh, wow, I have some longevity. Maybe these people will come see a movie I'm in. Maybe they'll watch a television show I do. And so that – and to a producer, that makes me more interesting to hire.
Right.
Because there's a lot of great actors out there, and there's a lot of people who do really good work. But it really comes down to, it's, we're in a business. How can they put – how can they sell tickets? How can they get – or how can they sell cars? Or, you know, they, how to get commercial advertisers to watch your – to invest in your show, to, you know, to buy commercial space. Because it really is a business. So part of it is, it's great that when people, you know who you are, it means that you have some longevity in the industry. And I know that sounds very, like, self-serving, almost narcissistic, but it's just a cold reality that – if nobody wants to watch you, it's going to be very hard to make a living. You know, that's just
the way
it is.
True.
So you got to think of these things. Is, you know, you balance your need to be an artist and being altruistic with the selfishness of, well, I've got to develop a visibility. I got to develop a certain cash so producers are willing to invest in me. You know.
That's very true. That's very true. I mean, you are what's known as a character actor, although most of your characters seem to be in the action movies or TV shows and things like that, in the games. Do you see yourself spreading out any time in the near future? I mean, I know you got a lot of upcoming movies. Any of them comedies or anything like that?
It's funny. I've been, I've been described as a as a character actor trapped in a leading man's body. It's kind of, it's interesting to say it that way. Because I do end up playing a lot of characters. Yeah, it's again, I came into the business late. I've really been doing this full time since 2005 only. So I missed in my 20s and my 30s to build up sort of a reputation in the industry so I could, people know what I do. And so I had to go where, you know, for me, I had to find the openings. I had to find the empty spaces. And that was playing this very, you know, what I look like, a military guy. These are roles that people easily see me in, so I get those opportunities more often than not. But I'm really not that guy. I'm a pretty easygoing fella. I don't really, I avoid conflict at all costs. You know, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't really do much more than, you know, ride my bike and play with my cats and write movies. So I'm a very easygoing guy. It's just like a zen life I live, right? And so to play those roles, you really have to, you know, again, you got to be able to have enough cachet where people are going to trust you, that people will see you even though you're not beating up a kid. They're going to come to watch even if they're not shooting somebody with a gun. Oh, that's his actor. I want to see him in that role. So it's a real privilege to be able to be a chameleon. Unfortunately, I've been able to, there's a few projects within the last 2 years that allowed me to step outside of the military or the police purview of who my character, what my brand is. Like right now, I'm working on a thing, I'm shooting it right now, called Sugar Baby. I get to play a dad, and I'm fun, and I'm funny, and I get to be lighthearted, and I'm a caring dad, and I'm a mechanic, and we have a great relationship. You know, I'm not molesting her. I'm not beating up her boyfriend. I'm just a really great dad, you know, and then all of a sudden I get an injury, and we're the family strapped for cash, and she's in college, and she ends up becoming an escort to this really rich old guy. And I'm devastated by it. Isn't that a great role that I get to be all these things? I never, granted, there is a place where I come in and punch the guy and rescue my daughter because he's trying to kill her. But that aside, but the first three quarters of the movie, it's like I get to be more like who I am. You know, I'm more fun. I'm more interesting than just this guy who's willing to beat somebody up. So that's a really great opportunity for me to shift gears a little bit and to be seen other than that really scary dude. You know, that guy, is he a cop? You know, are you a Marine? You know, it's nice to have you get the opportunity to play that, but it's a long time coming, you know.
Right.
You know.
I could see you doing comedy or something. I mean, it just, for some reason, you, and maybe it's because of all the times we have talked on the phone like this, that we do get to see your other side and your humor and how you live your life and that. So I can picture it very easily.
Yeah, it's just a matter of getting producers to trust that. That's, you know, and again, it's a process. You know, I'm the third lead in this film. You know, and if it does well, then maybe I'll be the second lead. Then I'll have an opportunity to be the lead as this nice guy. And it's just it's a process. You know, it's like moving up the depth chart of a team. As you get better at something, people trust you more at it, and then you get to do it more. It's simple. It's just a business. You've got to understand what the requirements are. But I do have a comedy that came out. Last year I went to Japan and made a comedy. I had to go to Japan to be in a comedy, which I find
really
ironic. Yeah, I sat it last September, actually this time last year, and it's called Judge. And I hope it comes to North America, because it's a really funny film. It's got a lot of major Japanese stars in it, and the kid who's the lead, his name is Susami Susumbuko or something, and he is so funny. And it's basically, I'm his mentor. I'm an ad exec, and there's this big commercial festival, and he and I kind of team up to defeat the corporate evilness, you know. And it's just, I'm pretty much a straight man in it, but he's so funny, he's so lovable, and I really hope it comes to America, because it's a really funny film. It really takes all the American ideas of Japan, of Japanese people and their culture, and it just, you know, it just kind of skewers all that stuff. It's a really funny film.
Oh, it sounds like it. I love comedy, so I'd love to see that too.
Yeah, I would too.
Now, what is Deep Down Video Game, where you play the warrior?
Yeah, that Deep Down was it's actually a test project for PS4. They started it as a way to test some new technology. Again, I have all my introduction things are like I'm testing technologies. I don't have a lot to do with that. There was 3 days. It really is it's a smaller game. I really don't know a lot about it. I've never played it. It looks pretty cool. The story is very basic. You know, I play the character. I have a certain skill set. And, I don't know a lot about the game. Again, a lot of jobs, you just hit your mark, you say a line, you go home. You don't need what you're doing half the time. It's a paycheck.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of them. They say, hey, we have a week for you in this job. We're going to pay. Do you want a job? Well, sure, I got to pay my rent. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I don't know a lot. I don't know that much about the game to really even comment on it. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, once people see it and if it comes out or if it's out, I don't know. They probably know what it's about. I just thought I'd ask because I saw it was another game. But the last time we talked, you were working on getting your movie that you wrote called Non-Zombies out there. What stage is it at now? What's going on?
Well, let's see. We did really well. I mean, I did a Kickstarter thing, but what I wanted from the Kickstarter was just to get it implanted into the internet world. I just wanted, when you type in Non-Zombies, something come up. So that was our major goal, was to get it some visibility. And then I went through the winter, did a couple of rewrites on it, finalized the script, showed it to a bunch of people, and I got great feedback. Really excited about the project now. And again, I have Kamar Dolores, who played Menendez, he's attached. I have Rich McDonald, who was playing Dave Mason, he's attached. There's a few other people who are very, very interested in it, and you know, I'm submitted to a few producers, and we're looking for money. It's just right now, it's ready to go. I mean, I've got all the pre-production stuff set. It's a matter of somebody just coming in and signing a check and saying, "Let's go do this."
Well, that doesn't sound so hard.
No, it doesn't.
Well, yeah, we just need $2 million. Hey, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
$2 million on you. Well, the thing is this. What I'm hoping to establish is that we have enough of a internet presence that we can attract, you know, a certain amount of viewers that can guarantee an investor back their money. Because the investors, you know, as much as they love being in business, they want their money back. So
if
somebody,
course,
you know, gives you somebody gives you $500,000, they want to be reassured that, oh, by the way, I'm going to get that back. You know,
mm-hmm.
So we have, so as a film producer, you have to prove, you have to give them evidence that you have enough going on in your project that it's going to guarantee them some return. That's why you see a lot of like actors in these low-budget films that show for 2, 3, 4 scenes, because they know that if Arnold Schwarzenegger's for, you know, 2 scenes, he's worth, you know, a couple $1 million in Europe. You know, so that's why you see all these straight-to-video films having 1 or 2, like, B-level celebrities, because that's how they finance it. They believe that Dolph Lundgren's in it, a certain number of people are going to see that film, no matter how bad it is, no matter how good
mm-hmm.
it is, Dolph Lundgren is worth, you know, $500,000 of viewership. So that's what we have to convince an investor of, that that Nam Zombies, there's an audience to watch this film, which I think is kind of absurd, you know, that we have a massive audience that wants to see this film. But, again, it's a matter of just having proof, giving them evidence that it's going to happen.
Well, tell them to turn the TV on. We got zombies, we got vampires, we got witches, you know,
yep.
all of that. Teen Wolf, you know, all that's out there. So this fits right in.
I know.
No
it's
doubt.
All fun.
No doubt, but again, you're dealing with, you know, Hollywood, and the film industry is a very peculiar group of people. I mean, there's no, you know, the balance between the need to make money and the need to have your ego massaged. There's a very strange line. You know, you gotta figure out who needs what, who needs to be. Okay, this is my project, and I made this happen. Well, sure, say that. Just give me the check. You know.
Yeah.
And and there's people, well, you know, I think it needs naked zombies. Well, you know, everybody's going to want to put their stamp on it. So
right.
There's been offers on the film already, but they're from people who I really don't want to do business with. You know, they're going to want to change a few things. And there's so many fun elements that it's almost a shame to, you know, shortchange the budget and lose two of these really great scenes. Like, oh, wow, that's why the movie's fun. You take that out,
right?
Not fun anymore. Yeah, but we can do it for this budget and make our money back. I get it. I understand that, and I respect that. But I want to really honor the community that I'm making it for. This is for, you know, the Call of Duty Black Ops. I'm making it for them. So it's important that we be able to, you know, make it with those nuances in mind. And the right person's out there. It's not that. It's just a matter of getting it in front of people. And people are busy. You got to make sure that look at this. And I'm not really good at that. I'm not really good at jumping up and down and demanding attention. I just kind of, it happens, great. If not, I just go buy my popcorn and sit down in my chair. I mean, either way, I don't really seek it out. I have to change that. I have to learn how to be more of a salesman, I think.
Yeah, and that is hard, being a salesman and not taking that no 50,000 times personally, and then you just give up. You just got to keep going. If you believe strongly in it and you want it out there, then you're going to just keep going head first.
Oh, yeah, and I take all rejection personally. I take it as a total affront to my being. Yeah, sadly, that. Oh God, yeah, yeah. You kidding me? I mean, like, yeah. If I get a bad review, I'll sulk for days. You know, he's wrong.
Uh-huh.
I should have worn a tiger stripe bikini in that scene. He's right. No matter how bizarre the comment may be, like, oh, he's right. I should have, you know, stabbed myself in the eye with a fork. And like, oh God, Jim, just stop. You know. Yeah, I really don't watch a lot of my own stuff, and I rarely do I read reviews, only because it'll make me crazy. I'll make myself nuts. You know, I have a lot of insecurities, and it's like that's why I'm in this business. You know, why else would I be here? Why would I subject myself to this constant criticism, this constant insecurity about, you know, whether I'm going to work again ever? I have no power. You know, you just have to – basically, you're a beggar. I sort of compare myself to a day laborer, like at the Home Depot when this guy – I'm a day laborer, basically. You know, granted, I'm not, you know, digging holes and throwing concrete, but – In the same type of mentality, I'm really just waiting for my next job to come every day. You know, so
that's true.
So it's a perfect.
Now,
it's a perfect
I'm job curious to know something. When you go out on what is the word I'm looking for? Audition, and you're sitting in a room, a waiting room, with, you know, 10 other guys there that are going for the same role. Do you scope them out? Do you, you know, think about?
It's freaking war. Come on. It's like jackals waiting for a piece of meat. You know, I scope them out. I'm saying, okay. You know, and I figure out, find out what the weak points are. And guys sabotage each other all the time. There's people always trying to trip. I mean, it's some that's unconscious, but there's actually guys out there who really try to just, you know, dominate the room and suck the energy out and throw you off your game. And I learned early on that, no, you're not going to do that to me. You know, I have no problem telling somebody to F off or yelling at – I've yelled at casting directors and stuff for kind of getting in the way. Because casting directors will have favorites, and they'll want their favorites to get the job, and they will sabotage you. I mean, and you have people running the camera who are wanting to be directors, and they're bitter, and they may not like your choices, and they say, well, I think you should do this way. Well, I think you should go to hell. This is my audition. Get away. Yeah, I mean, I've done that. You have to. I mean, the Call of Duty auditions like that. You know, they had the camera in the wrong place. I go, dude, you got to move the camera over here. You're never going to see my face. You got to get my earlobe over there. And that's one reason I got the job. That's Woods. No, move the camera over there because you're not going to see my face. Yeah. Here you go. Get the boom out of here. Get, you know. Because it's like you've got to take control of as much as you can. And being in the room, I've had people, like, steal my sides. I had people, like, start trying to talk to you. You know, like, some start in the, hey, man, I saw your movie. I got it. Hey, it's like, dude, leave me the F alone. Leah, go over there and die or something. I don't care. You know, I get very aggressive. You know, it's really funny how I get – Yeah, and once I go through the door, I'll change. I'm the friendly guy again. But it really is. It's kind of cutthroat because, you know, we're all fighting for scraps down here.
Right.
You know, this is not it's not the experience that established big time actors have. They Mr. Cruz, thank you for coming in. He'd never been for an audition anyways. But there's certain guys that they just really Mr. Wait a minute, come on in. You know, it's so good to be. Can I get you a glass of water, some coffee maybe?
Yeah.
Come on, get in here. You got 2 minutes. it can be a mess. But thank God for that. That's where the being an athlete is very advantageous because I kind of thrive in that competitive environment. Like, hey, you want to go?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go. You want to go?
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah. I've banged a few out there. Yeah, I've stepped a few. Some guys in the bathroom, they call out, is John Smith there? And then I say, yeah, I'm right here. I'm going to take his audition. I have no problem doing that. I have no problem just like, it's like I'll go to the door and listen to how the guys are reading the line, see what mistakes they're making. Oh, I'm not going to do that one. And there's all kinds of tricks. So it's like you got to be aggressive, it's just the way it is.
It's so funny that you're telling me all of this because I saw something like this on a TV show, and I, for the life of me, I can't even remember what it was, but it was probably maybe about a week or two ago, and something similar happened. Actually, the kid that was going on the audition, his mom was with him, and he wasn't even a kid. I mean, he was latter teens. And he was so embarrassed because that's what she was doing while she was sitting in the waiting room. And she's telling all these other actors that are waiting, you're not a true redhead. Get out of here. What do you think you're doing here? And getting into all their heads. It was hysterical.
If I'm a 5, your average stage mom is like a 10. I mean, there's a savagery. it comes with the female with estrogen that men don't eat. We can't even begin the savagery that can come from a female, from a mama cub. I mean, it's like, I have seen women do the most horrific things, especially the emotional, you know, like, you know, oh, guys, you've put weight on, huh? Oh, have you done this? Just, I look at her, did she just say that to her? You know? Like, oh, my God, you're not wearing that in there, are you? Oh. Oh, I once saw a woman actually tell another woman that the audition was over, and she had taken the actual sign-in sheet and hidden it, and this woman walked in and said, "Oh, it ended about 15 minutes ago. She's in the bathroom. Yeah, I'll get to say bye, you know." And then she put it. She actually, I mean, it's just all the insane stuff you've heard about this business is true, but worse. You know,
yeah,
it's true, but
plus
worse.
Plus 10.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a business to be in. You have to have a thick skin, that's for sure. And just go into it knowing what you're getting
or
into.
Or drink a lot.
And
or drink that alcohol. That's another way to go about it, you know. There's other ways to cope.
That's so true. For our listeners, please follow James on Twitter at James C. Burns and also at Sergeant, well, SGT, _Frank_Woods. Be sure to subscribe to his YouTube channel. And do you have a Facebook page?
It's not operational. I got infiltrated.
Oh, okay.
So I had to shut it down. I had some people doing some pretty horrific things on it. And that's conversation for another day. So I had to shut it down. There was some very unfortunate events happening on my YouTube channel. So,
that's not very nice.
You know what the deal is? This. I'm a public figure now. You know, you can Google me and find me anywhere. So that's the price tag. You know, if you want, like I said, if you want to be on the other side of the fence where you have a career, and that means you got to be visible. People got to know who you are. People got to want to come see you, then you've got to be willing to have the opposite. People are going to take advantage of it. People are going to like exploit. People are going to hate you for that. You know?
Yeah.
But if you want to make a living, do more than make a living, you want to have a career, then, hey, you're a public figure. You can't say, you know, give me my privacy. Hey, you have a living because people want to know you, so shut up and let them take the picture. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like, I came into the business late, and a lot of this behavior that I see is just so like it's the opposite. I don't mean like it's not cool to make things up and you know say you're raping dogs and stuff, but it's like you're a public figure. People are gonna follow you. They're gonna want to know what you're doing, and you know they're gonna fly to the restaurant and take pictures of you. That's what you signed up for, to be because you're visible. People see you. They want to see what you do. That's why you get paid a large amount of money. So
that's right.
You know, get over it.
That's exactly right.
I say that now. I say that now, but, you know, let's say things change in 10 years, and I'm that guy getting chased down the street by cameras. I'll have a different story to think, sure. You know, so.
Well, make sure you come back on and let us know how that's changed. Also, for our listeners, be sure to go to coldwaterthemovie.com, watch the trailer, and check out the select theaters that it's screening at. I did see that it's very first one that you can click on is screenings, and it shows August 15th, Arizona, California, Illinois, Louisiana, New York, Oregon. And it has the name of the theater there, and I believe you can click on it. Yep, you sure can. You can click on it, and it'll tell you all about it. So check it out. You won't be sorry, and maybe take your teenagers with you.
And it's also on iTunes, and you can get it on Amazon, I believe. And again, it's an important film. I mean, you're not gonna walk out and say, "Wow, that was great. I'm so glad I saw that." You're gonna walk and say, "Wow, that was great. I'm glad I saw that." It's going to make you, it's going to affect you. I mean, it really, you're going to squirm, you're going to laugh. There's some humor in there, but, you know, you're going to laugh, but for all the wrong reasons, you're going to laugh. but there's it's a real roller coaster ride. It has a lot to say, and you're also witnessing the blossoming of a star to be. And PJ Buttigieg, he's next Ryan Gosling. He's a pretty special actor, great kid, just a great young man. I'm a big fan of his. He's smart. He's friendly. He's handsome. He's talented. You know, he's got a lot of poise. I really hate his guts. Yeah. Now that I think about it, he's young. Yeah, I hate him. I hate him to pieces. So, All right.
You're funny. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today, James. I absolutely am thrilled to talk with you.
I'm good. I'm glad. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm sure we'll do it again.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yes.
All right, gang.
David?
I'm going to check out. Dave, you good?
Yes. Yes.
All right, Dave.
Yes. Take care, James. We'll see you again soon.
We'll see you soon.
Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, my gosh. I love talking to that guy. This is the first time that you got to interview with him, because I believe that two previous times we had him on, I think one time was Dawn and the other time was Sabina, if I remember correctly.
Thanks.
But he's so much fun.
Oh, no. I did it for Nam Zombies, because I was a backer. Yeah. I was a backer.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. So then, and Dawn, I know, did the first one. So, yeah, he's
Dawn,
such a pleasure to speak with. He's so much
fun. Oh, my
God,
I
love his sense of humor. Oh, my gosh. So
yes.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. If I cannot get to a theater tomorrow, at least I know it's on iTunes and Amazon, and I do have that Prime Amazon thing, so I will watch it on there, because I can't wait to see this movie.
I do, too. Well,
you,
I got
yeah.
iTunes. So.
You got iTunes, yeah. So either way,
iTunes.
We'll be able to see it. So
that's
now
right.
Switching gears, which is not an easy thing to do when you go from one one extreme to the next. I believe our
if
other guest is on the
like
phone.
Us,
yeah.
<what do we
have? laughs> I believe that we have Paul from Starstruck Fan Events on the phone. Paul, are you with us?
Hello, how are you?
I'm
hey, Paul.
Doing well. How are you doing?
Good. No zombies here.
No zombies. Although Eric Martsoff did play one in Acting
yes.
Dead.
Yes.
So,
he did.
Yeah. Maybe that's who will show up. Who knows?
You never
we're
know.
Doing great. We're doing great.
Good.
Did you listen
yes,
to the interview
well.
With James Burns?
I did, yes, I did. Interesting
Don't
person.
You love his sense of humor?
Yeah.
He's so funny. So what's new with you? You got a couple events coming up, and Eric and John Driscoll should be calling in shortly, I hope.
I do, yes. Actually, they are. Eric's actually going to call in first. John, I believe, he's still calling in, but he was running a little behind. So.
Okay.
But Eric will be calling in first. We are doing our second annual Everything Eric Fan Club Weekend. It's going to be in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right. That's in near his hometown, am I right?
It is. We're doing three events. Friday night we are doing a awesome rockin' 80s Brady brewery party. And then Saturday we are doing an event at the Hollywood Casino and the racetrack, and we're going to do some gambling and some betting with him. And then Sunday we are doing a brunch with him.
Oh,
gosh. You know, I'm such a dork. You know how you're talking on the phone and you're leaning your head against mute?
Yes.
I did that. So you didn't even hear what I said.
That's okay. I'm listening now.
Oh, my gosh. I had to pull the phone away from my ear and go, like, what happened? Did it die on me? So I missed part of what you said. The first event, could you say that again, please? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, please go.
It's Friday night, August 29th. It is an awesome rockin' 80s Brady party at a local brewery in in Pennsylvania. Then Saturday we're doing horse racing and betting and gambling at Hollywood Casino and the Penn National Racetrack. And then Sunday we are having the second annual Brady Brunch.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
Yeah,
I wish I could go to something like that. Unfortunately,
yeah.
I'm not able to, but I know that you have a lot of people going, and this is something that you enjoy doing. Why don't you, before Eric calls in, give the listeners a little bit of background on yourself and Keith and how you got involved with this?
Yes, please do.
Well, actually, we just started as regular old fans that just like to watch soap operas. We actually started watching General Hospital years ago, probably at least 20, and just have always followed soaps, and they had a soap opera cruise, and we decided to go. We thought it was a once-in-a-lifetime, well, hey, we'll go and hang out with these people, and didn't really think anything of it. One of the stars actually canceled, and Eric wound up being the replacement. And we met Eric and hit it off really well, and he laughed because, you know, we watch soap operas, and the most of predominantly soap opera community is women. But here were two guys that were just, you know, hanging out, and he was just like a regular guy. We had drinks, and we hung out together and just really enjoyed his company. And I offered to start his fan club, and 5-6 years later, we're now working on multiple fan clubs for different actors from different shows, and Eric is one of them, and so is John Driscoll. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting, and we have actual two back-to-back weekends coming up. We are actually leaving on Wednesday to head up the coast, and we're going to Virginia first, and then we're going to Pennsylvania.
Wow. What a life. I want to join you. Can I be part
of
your company?
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it's nice because both of them have, you know, kind of partnered with us, and we're doing a portion of the proceeds go to both of their charities. Eric's charity is World Vision, and John's charity, we could talk more about that with him, is the Wounded Warrior Project.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I mean, not only do they go out and meet their fans at different events like this and have a grand old time, but they also give back to a charity that they, you know, strongly support. I love that. I absolutely love that. I think that goes hand in hand with most actors that are out there these days, and even a lot of musicians. You know, they give back by taking some of the proceeds of their music that they sell through iTunes or Amazon or wherever, and give it back to somebody that, you know, some charity that they support.
Yeah, I agree. It's a nice. And I'm glad that we're able to do it for them. The fans seem to appreciate it. We had a good turnout last year, and, you know, we are hoping for the same, if not more. I want to just do a shout-out to Heather Warner. She's at Fox in Pennsylvania, Fox 43, and she actually flew out to the Days of Our Lives set and is doing a backstory on Eric because he's from Central Pennsylvania, and they're actually starting tomorrow, consecutive Fridays up to the event, running stories on Eric and Days of Our Lives and also talking about our event. So if she's listening, thank you for the support, and we will see you there. And hopefully a lot of local Pennsylvanians will come and root on their hometown guy.
That should be quite the event.
Yes. Actually, not only that, he is a Daytime Emmy Award winner.
Yes, he
exactly.
is.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so that, yeah, no pressure there.
That is huge.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll talk more about it, but it was pretty exciting for us and for him. We talked to him, you know, the day or two before, and he had no idea that he, you know, would even be considered winning. And I told him, I said, you have a really good shot. And he said, no, first time out. He said, I don't think so. And I said, I think you're going to win. And sure enough, we listened to it. It wasn't broadcast. It was on the radio, so we listened to it on the line, and sure enough, he won.
I was so excited. I know, David, you were too. You know, even though we were watching this thing online and it kept freezing on me and stuff, it was so nice to see him win because he has played such
power.
Multi-dimensional character lately. I mean, with everything that he's going through, it just shines through. And you know, when you're watching him, you're thinking, well, I do anyhow, with a lot of the different characters, different soaps, you know, that's Emmy worthy. That's Emmy worthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's Emmy
yeah.
worthy, you know.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
nice when you think that way and then you do see it come true because, it, you know, it's such a surprise to the actors and such an awesome surprise.
Yeah, and he's been, you know, he's been in the business for years. He started back in
mm-hmm.
Passions and he was doing Broadway. And, I mean, he's come a long way. And, you know, for, you know, Heather was at our event last year and she said, you know, I'd like to help out this year. And she said, can I fly out to L.A. and interview him? And I said, that would be great if you would do that. And it's a public exposure because a lot of people, you know, it's hard to get the word out there, you know, through social media and through people like you. Thank you very much again for letting me come
You're
on
welcome.
And do this. You know, it's hard to get the word out there. So it's nice that we have some avenues that we can pursue to get people to come to the event and meet him. He is just he's a hoot. I mean, he's a laugh riot. I tell you, he's just it's gonna be a very interesting weekend because he's you just never know what to expect with him. Just you know.
And it's funny you say that
yeah.
because Sabina, who's also a co-host on this show, has gone to quite a few days events and she's met Eric and she'll tell us stories about, you know, who's the real funny one or the one that likes to dance or the one that's telling a lot of jokes or maybe had a couple drinks too many.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But she says it's always a lot of fun to do these events and she gets
yeah.
quite a few of them there down in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah, and what I guess what I like about, you know, everyone that we've met, I mean, through all of the soap opera things that we've, you know, we've gone through, the events that we've gone through, which is kind of why we wanted to get, you know, more involved in the business with them, is they're just normal people. They're just everyday, you know, they
mm-hmm.
don't carry any airs. They're not stuck on themselves. You know, when we met Eric, we were like, wow, you know, you're very, you know, handsome on TV. You're an actor, and, you know, you're not going to want to, you know, kind of hang out with us. And it was like, but we, you know, there was actually one night when we didn't go out because the night before I had drank too much. And the next day we were supposed to meet him for drinks and I just couldn't make it. And he yelled at us
Aww.
The next day. He's like, where were you? He said, I was waiting for you
Aww.
To drink with you.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's just like you become friends with them, you know, and his family is lovely. His wife and his kids, they're just nice people. We've met them and he's just an everyday, you know, it's nice. It's nice to do people, you know, do things for people that really appreciate it and do give back to the community and do give back to his fans because he's all about the fans. If it wasn't for them, he would not be where he is today.
Exactly.
Just,
and I think Mr. Eric Marksoff might be on the phone right now, so let me go ahead and pick this up.
Okay.
How do you know that? That's like magic.
Yeah, it is magic. It's that
it
thing when you talk about somebody, they either show up or they call you or their ears start ringing. So this
was,
way you call.
Yeah, no, I was just sitting here in my family room and having a glass of wine and my ears just started buzzing and so I just picked up the phone and here you are. Weird. Guys are weird. How are you? How's everybody doing?
We're doing great.
We're doing great, buddy.
And thank you for calling in, and of course, we were just talking about your huge win. Congratulations,
yes,
Mr. Daytime Emmy winner. We're very proud of you.
Very much
it
for that.
Well
Thank
deserved.
You. It looks pretty. I'm actually looking at it right now. It looks pretty good under my TV. It kind of moves around the house.
Oh, does it? By itself?
It does.
Well, interestingly enough, my wife, like, just she puts it in different places. Like, it was the dining room centerpiece on at a table where my family eats dinner for a while, and then it made its way into the TV room. I kind of like it in here because when I watch shows, I can always, no matter whom I'm watching on the television, I can remind myself that, you know, I'm an actor too, so, you know, whatever they're doing on that screen, I did pretty well myself.
That's right, and you got the award to show for it.
It's ridiculous self-validation while I watch television shows.
But,
yeah.
The only time I
but
would worry about
very
that
well
is
deserved, if, Eric.
The only time I would worry about that is if while watching TV and thinking that you picked up the award to show the TV, the person in the TV that. So then I would start to worry.
Well, maybe in a weird way, yeah. I think that they're actually staring at it and getting insecure the more they speak. I don't know. No, it's honestly, in a nutshell, thank you very much. It still
yeah.
hasn't lost It's flavor. I mean, and that's literally why I'm when Paul and Keith approached me about having this event in Pennsylvania that's coming up at the end of the month, I just thought that's a perfect time to celebrate not only with some of my folks from back home. I mean, that's where my roots are. That's where I was born and raised and learned to love acting in the first place. It just seemed a perfect place to have an event. So that's why we're doing it.
Will you be bringing it with, or do you leave it at home?
Yeah,
will you be bringing it with you?
I got to be honest. I don't think they're going to let me on the plane with this thing. I mean, the wings on me are sharp. They could be construed as a weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, I almost barbecued with her the other night. I almost stuck this on the wings and put it over the flame, but my wife said that would probably be a bad idea.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, leave it at home. You never know. You might have one drink too many and lose track of it, too, and you don't want to do that.
Oh, one drink too many. Are we talking to Brady Black? Are we talking to Eric here? Who are we talking to?
I don't know. I was just telling Paul, I heard some stories at some of these days events, but no, nothing bad. Nothing bad. You guys just
nothing
had a lot
bad.
Of fun, so.
No, I'll be the first one to tell you. We do have fun. We probably have one drink too many, but that comes with the celebrating. No one's driving. We're having a good time being responsible, and that's kind of how we do it. And if the fans want to have a good time, we owe it to them. I think that's when I came on the show, and I think I heard Paul talking about the fans, and we wouldn't really be where we are without them, and it's entirely true. I am a sucker for fan events. I do a lot of them. And it's one way that I can say thanks. It's a small way. And it's always, I always walk away from those things feeling great about what I do, because we often get so tied up in our roles and the length of the taping days, and we go to our little warehouse in Burbank and we shoot the show, but we rarely have time to really sit and reflect on how much the show means to people sometimes. And it's at these events that they look you dead in the eye and they say, thank you, you know, so much for what you do. Because we're not brain surgeons. We're not saving lives, but we do supply sometimes moments for families to get together, and that's their time. It's almost like one fan described it to me. It's like having Thanksgiving every day because the whole family needs to know what's going on, so it gets everybody in the same room. And that's hard to do these days. It's hard to get everybody in the same room, you know. Soaps can do it, though.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, in my house alone, there's probably a TV in most every room. And it's only because we watch different things. So it's not like when I was growing up and we all sat in front of the same TV and we watched what our father wanted to watch and that was it, you know.
I know. I came from that family as well, but I think soaps are interesting in the sense that people want to watch them together because they all have their take on what's going on and they all want to share their thoughts with each other. You know what I mean? So they want to let everybody know how they're thinking about what Sammy's doing to EJ or what Brady's doing to Teresa. They all have their own opinions about it. So
that's true.
In a way, we're bringing families together, damn it. That's what we're doing.
That's right.
That's true.
Now, speaking of giving back, some of these proceeds go to your charity. Would you like to tell us more about that?
Are we speaking about World Vision?
Yes.
World Vision, I have to attribute most of that connective tissue to my wife, actually. She turned me on to this, and it was, you know, you essentially save a life for dimes a day. And, you know, we've been sponsoring a small girl for, I believe, about two years now. And our dear friends, the Bensons, Jody Benson, I'll just plug her for a sec. She's the voice of the Little Mermaid. And she's the godmother to my sons. We met doing the tour of Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat years ago. That's where I met my wife, and that's also where we met Jody. And she and her husband were involved in this organization, and they turned us on to it. And at the time, I was one of those guys like, I don't know if I want to have kids. I don't know if I want them. They'll just mess up my floors and ruin, you know, they'll break my Emmy when I finally get one down the line. I just don't think it's a good idea. So we thought, well, what the next best thing is, you know, let's adopt a kid, you know. And this is a beautiful way that you can literally, I can't make you can't say it too bluntly. You can literally save someone's life for a couple bucks a month, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, there's so many kids out there and families as a whole that need the help, and it's wonderful that you can give back to them and help save somebody's life. And, I mean, just think about it. It's one less order of fries. I mean, not even a Big Mac, because a Big Mac is, what, $5 these days?
If you took a Big Mac a day and gave it to, you know, some of these families, you would save hundreds of people. It's
exactly.
Literally, you know, dimes and quarters we're talking about, you know, things that we throw away on a daily basis. So I don't
exactly.
want to stay too long on my soapbox or anything, but it is silly how little you can give that can make such a big difference. So I love that we're affiliating this with the charity event, you know, on Labor Day weekend.
I do too. And just for our listeners, if you want to contribute, it's worldvision.org. So tell us more about what's going to happen on the weekend. Paul started telling us about what you guys will be doing.
It's more like, what aren't we going to be doing?
Yeah.
These guys, I mean, they're very flexible with me. They're like, okay, Martsov, listen, what's it going to take? How do we get your butt in Pennsylvania, and how do we do this? And I said, really? I get to, like, pretty much make a list of my favorite things? And they're like, yeah, go ahead, go for it. So we're first on Friday night, we're going to the Trogues Brewery, which is this beautiful brewery near Hershey, and we're going to basically learn how beer is made, which is one of my favorite things. And then on Saturday, we're going to be going to one of the casinos there locally, the Hollywood Casino, and we're going to have our own personal suite at the racetrack, and we're going to bet on horses, and I'm a sucker for casinos, always have been. And then on Sunday, the perfect ending to this crazy weekend is brunch, and at this beautiful restaurant that the guys actually found that I had never been to before, but it looks terrific, and it's just fun and frolicking, and I usually let my mouth get the best of me. I usually end up giving up a lot of secrets about days of our lives that I probably shouldn't be giving out. I'm like, if I take the trip and they're willing to pay for a ticket to come see me, I'm giving them some dick. That's just the bottom line.
I want to be there just for that. But then again,
yeah.
I don't, because in a way, I don't like spoilers. I have a Facebook page for Take Two Radio, and I post a lot of things on there, but I try not to post a lot of spoilers, just maybe those previews that you see after the soap is over. I think it spoils it for people.
I'm actually not even talking about spoilers. I'm talking about backstage gossip kind of stuff.
Even better.
Well, in that case.
Yeah, I'm not talking
in
about
that case.
Soap Opera Digest talked about. I'm talking about, like, National Enquirer kind of stuff. That's the stuff. People want to know what's going on behind the scenes. And I always said that the best soap opera is the one that is not on camera. It's the one that's behind the cameras.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. Well, you want to share a story or two with us since we can't
yeah.
be there?
Well, that's the tease, isn't it? No, you're going to have to come. You got to come. I mean, hey, I have a laundry list of things. I really do. But you got to respect the fact that it's got to be saved for the folks that are willing to make the trip.
Yeah, I do. I was teasing you. So what's better for you when you do an event like this by yourself, or do you like doing it with a bunch of different people that you work with or maybe that you previously worked with?
That's a great question. I actually, my first, this represents my second event that I've ever done by myself. We did one last year, and I was very hesitant. Even after, you know, being in the business for over a decade, I still thought to myself, I need the, you know, I need the companionship to draw people. But lo and behold, we tried it last year. Paul and Keith kind of talked me into it, and we had a nice little turnout. And it was really a memorable thing and a really lovely event, enough so to inspire another one this year. So do I like fraternizing with my other cast members? Of course. And I do other events with them. But do I need them? Apparently not. I'm okay on my own.
No.
Yeah. Besides, talk enough about the other cast members, they're not there to defend themselves, so that makes
right.
it even more interesting. I like to have the last word.
Yeah. Are you an Aries? Because Aries like doing that.
No, I'm a Leo. I'm just
you're,
as bad.
Well, same thing. Same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Aries,
you know,
yeah.
Loyal, king of the jungle, don't get in my way kind of weird
exactly.
person.
Exactly. I love it. Now, Paul,
you know, it's funny. Most of the Jen Lilly is also a Leo, who's my co-worker on day. There's like, I think there's like 10 or 12 Leos in that cast.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're predominantly Leos. It's kind of interesting. Wow. John Aniston's another one. Yeah, they're all over the place. We had a little laugh about that the other day.
That is amazing that you guys work so well together with all being the same sign because you have a lot of the same personality traits. And you can either work together well or you can butt heads, one or the other.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the interesting thing is one of the strains that we all have in common is the loyalty factor. And right now, we all seem to be very loyal to our program, you know, and that's caused kind of a cohesive element amongst the cast because, you know, a couple years ago, we all thought soaps were going to die. We all thought they were going to be just a thing of the past. And I think we all kind of woke up and realized that we all need to bond together and stop this petty competitiveness. I've made these remarks, too, concerning the Emmys. It didn't seem like a competition this year. I mean, it's easy for me to say that because I actually won. There's more of a feeling at these award shows that there's a camaraderie that wasn't there, I think, a decade ago when, you know, people were out to claim whose show is the best, who's the better actor, you know, who's the better co-star. And now it's just a question of let's just all keep our shows on the air. You know, I think you're seeing more events with, you know, cast members from other shows that are doing one event. We're all willing to kind of come together and share our good fortune with one another, and I think that's a turn for the best.
I think so too. I totally agree with you. I mean, it's not
family.
I mean, like last year, I think was maybe the one event that I saw where there was crossovers from different shows being into the same event, and I love it. I love it because we all, with so many or not so many, but so few soaps left, we tend to watch them all now.
Right.
Yes.
And let's face it, if you blink, you're going to find one of your favorite actors on another show these days.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, we've made a little living out of, you know, soap hopping. I like to think of it as a big pond with a bunch of lily pads, and you just have a bunch of frogs jumping from lily pad to lily pad.
Yep.
This is true. We absolutely love that Cassie De Paiva is on there because I had watched her for
lovely.
Many, many years. And
she
fits right in with
girl.
You guys.
Yes, she does.
She is she's one of a kind. I mean, we have good laughs because when she was working at Opryland as a singer, she used to be a little country singer. Still is a great singer, but I was working at Dollywood at the time. So we were both in Tennessee basically, you know, making our nickels by singing our brains out five shows a day.
That's
hear my dog there?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to keep mine quiet. I think she hears your dogs. Isn't that weird? Because she started going, rrr.
There she is. She's our little puppy. She just had, four operations about 8 weeks ago.
Oh, the poor.
What kind
there
of dog is it?
She is a King Charles Spaniel. And she's only one. She was a poor breed, and she had just had issue after issue after issue, and by that time, my family was, we were just in love with her, so like, of course, do whatever you have to do, and yeah, most of my paychecks have been going into this little barking thing right here, but it's fine.
Yeah. well, it,
Not,
I'm so happy
that
you
about
have
it at
her,
all.
I mean.
My motorcycle can wait, it's fine.
You're so funny. But it means a lot to the kids growing up with an animal. I think that teaches them responsibility. Unless the parent is doing everything, that won't work. So,
Well, you know, I have two boys and two twin boys. They couldn't be more different. And one is just an animal lover. We call him the dog whisperer because every dog in the neighborhood will come up to him and just, it's strange. It's strange how some people just have that ability, but he definitely does. He also doesn't like, he also doesn't like to do his homework though. So we have, yeah, he's like, Dad, I don't want to do math. I go pet all the dogs. I'm like, sorry, buddy. Yeah. You just can't dogs your whole life. Yeah.
Well, it would help him with math. He can go, I'm petting number one, I'm petting number two, I'm petting number three.
You're not helping now. You're not helping.
Well, my kids are grown, so I could do that now.
Right. I know. It's easy in retrospect. It's like, well, just this. I'm like, I can't do that. Hey, are Paul and Keith still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to you.
Paul is here.
Oh, you've been so quiet. What patience you've exhibited.
I know. It's rare. I know. But
amazing.
I'm just listening to you talk. I talked to her before you came on, and, you know, I wanted you to talk about you and your event and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Well, enough about me. What, is there anything you want to say about this lovely event that you've worked? By the way, these guys have worked tirelessly to make this event happen. So all I want to say, if there's someone out there listening that, you know, if you can't make it to Pennsylvania, I totally get it. But if you have a friend or someone in Pennsylvania, like, call them up and tell them, you know, if they happen to watch Days, tell them to come to this thing, because these guys have worked too hard to make this event happen. So it'd be nice to have people there.
It would
most
be nice
definitely.
To have people there. Yes, it would be.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to it.
Paul, can you tell them what the ticket prices are and what the different things are? I don't. You have it broken down?
The tickets are actually sold individually online. Our website, by the way, is starstruckfanevents.com. That's starstruckfanevents is all one word, .com. We have tickets to Trogues Brewery is $125. Tickets to the casino and betting is $100. And then tickets for brunch is $150 to sit with Mr. Martsoff or $100 to sit at a non-VIP table. Or you can do a combination and buy all three tickets. For VIP is $350 and regular pricing is $300. All events include food, and we always provide everybody with a complimentary cocktail, just our way of saying thank you to everyone for being there. And we have some silent auctions. We have live auctions. It's fun. We had so much fun last year. And
it was fun last year.
Yeah, and, you know, we ask what you want to do, and he likes to gamble, he likes to drink, he likes to hang out with friends, and that's kind of what we, revolve the whole event around, and his family comes out and supports him, which is nice, and it's just, yeah, it turns out really well. There's a lot of repeat customers this year. There's people that have never been before because they heard about it last year, so... I'm looking forward to it. And as I said earlier, you know, Heather on Fox 43 is going to start airing stuff tomorrow, little backstories on Eric and the event, and hopefully getting some local Pennsylvania people, because I know it's hard to travel. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, I don't know if you remember we had the Vegas event, and the big thing was getting people there because it's just cost
right.
so much to fly.
Yeah. Just, and the airlines aren't making it any easier for fans to come see us because, I mean, these astronomical prices are crazy. But, hey, you can always use your frequent flyer miles. You can always use your points.
Yeah.
And
you have to fly, though, to get those points.
I'm getting my butt to Pennsylvania at the end of the month. We're using points. Poor guys
have
had to rearrange my schedule like two or three times. I mean... They've been really, really flexible with a soap actor is just bouncing from wall to wall. You can never depend on them, can you?
Yeah.
It's okay, Eric. It's you. It's okay. It's all good.
Trying.
It's all good.
Paul's easygoing. He completely understands of being a soap fan for many years.
I am, and I'm just, like I said to you earlier, I'm happy to do it. I'm honored that he's let us, you know, kind of go with it, and he trusts us and what we decide, and it's rarely, really, not a lot of input from him. He just gave us ideas of, hey, this is what I like to do. We did some canvassing in the area and found out places that you know, we could go to and venues that have been very, you know, flexible with us and very appreciative that we're bringing people in. So we're pretty excited about it. So,
Yeah, well, in turn, they're getting some extra publicity for themselves, too, with having the star Eric Martzoff there.
I mean, come on, right?
Yeah, I know.
What more do you want?
Right.
Dear God. And did you see? Did you hear that list of things? I mean, they have more things on their itinerary than Cheesecake Factory has of entrees.
Yeah.
Hear that? Then we have a combination platter. Then we have a, you know, daytime combination platter. Then we have a, it's amazing. I'm very proud
of Ponzi. Get some cheesecake with that package.
Oh, we can find cheesecake.
Yeah.
Actually, well, we actually grew up, my brother and I grew up with the Trogner families. It's called Trogues, but it's owned by the Trogner family. And we actually grew up with their boys. So we know, I believe, you know, the owners and the managers, the people that run that brewery. So we might get a little bit of an extra perk here and there. You never know, you know?
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds
know what that would mean, but maybe we'll get to play in the silos that they brew the beer. I don't know. We'll get to jump in the tanks of pale ale.
Yeah, last year we did wine. This year we're doing beer. So see, this general theme keeps coming around. There's always alcohol and gambling. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, if this one is successful enough, maybe next year we can go to Italy and visit the Amaretto factories.
Okay, I'll stop planning now.
Okay, the Amalfi
now
Coast.
Now you're talking. Now you're
Brady
talking.
Back in the
Amalfi. I'm going to have to start saving my pennies. I'm going.
Well, you understand this drinking theme. You know, every drink we have, it's a character study for me. So I'm working.
Yeah. Yeah,
because when, you know,
true.
When Kyriakis comes into that living room, I have to be, you know, on my, I need to know how to play drunk.
Right.
Or it's just it's not going to work. No one's going to believe me.
Yeah.
Practice, but you're not drinking now.
So.
I have to video myself at these events, and then I play it back before I go on stage. Like, it's an important part of the process. Understand?
You are too funny. Now, Paul, thinking back to last year's event, what is the funniest thing that Eric did or said?
Oh, God. There's so many.
No.
I have one. Yeah, I mean, it's your question, so I don't want to interrupt you.
Yeah.
I would, and he can elaborate on this, but he had a special guest last year at the winery, and that was actually the most enjoyable thing. He actually performed Grease Lightning live with his old friend, who was on Broadway. Went to school with. I don't remember the whole thing.
Well, in a nutshell, essentially, it was my high school production of Grease that kind of turned me on to acting in the first place. Because I was cast as Danny Zuko, and when I really didn't want to be cast as Danny Zuko, I didn't want that kind of pressure, but my director talked me into it, and my Kinnicky was a guy by the name of Chad Plank, and Chad showed up at the event. I hadn't seen him in like 20 years, and sure enough, somehow we got coaxed to go up and do Grease Lightning in the middle of the winery, so we did.
Oh my gosh, did anybody videotape that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there's weird videos of it somewhere, but they're all locked away and hidden.
No. We have to see it.
No, well, see, if you come to the event, that's the special access you get.
And he's coming.
Right.
He's coming back again.
Oh,
he emailed me and I said, I heard you're coming back in town, Danny. I'll be there.
Okay.
Oh. That's awesome. I mean, Grease is one of my favorite movies, of course, and
I absolutely
love to see you do that.
No, I should do. I should try to get a hold of the whole T-Birds, maybe even some of the Pink Ladies. I could find Sandy, too. I think she's local. Oh, let me work on that.
Okay, you work on that. Let us know.
We'll get the whole Grease cast. We'll do Summer Lovin', for God's sakes.
Okay, let us know, because I need to, you know, download music appropriately.
All right. If you guys are listening out there, just show up, okay? You know who you are. Central Dolphin High School, you know who you are.
Yeah. And practice before you get there. Maybe it's better not to practice.
Yeah, I think at this moment, I think the worse we are, the better. So
yeah.
Don't practice.
Oh, and if John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John are listening, please feel free to come as well.
John, yeah, come on by. You know my name. My name is Adele Azeem.
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh. You'll never live that down. I'm sorry. Never.
Oh, my gosh. I hope everybody listening out there can get to this event. I would love, love, love to go. And
yes,
if there's any possible way that I can get there, I will definitely be there. But
same here.
I'm going to have to start, like, putting my daughter on the corner or something. I don't know. I'll have to think of something.
Well, they have some really good duct tape at Home Depot. You know, you can just... not that I know from experience or anything. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's really funny is that my daughter just got a job recently, a couple months ago maybe, and she works at the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you what. She's got to memorize about as much as I do per day.
Yeah.
You know, I have to memorize about 120 pages a day, but she does too.
Yeah.
Along with
she told me.
Yeah. Quite a memory on that girl.
Yeah.
Have you
for being
seen
the
that
first time at a big
menu?
Like
it's literally a Bible of
yeah.
food.
Yeah. I know.
Good for
and
her.
Believe me, she knows it by heart by now, and I give her credit for that. At least she's using her brain cells and not letting them go to waste.
Well, that's important. But she's definitely got a good memory, so she's probably ready for soap. So as soon as I find out Teresa hit my dad over the head with a fireplace poker, I might need a new love interest. So give me her number.
Oh, okay. And I will tell her because she's always been interested in acting and did a little bit of it when she was younger. And she's now at a good age. She's going to be 24 this year. So that would be good for you.
Well, Mom, if you bring her to the event in Pennsylvania, maybe I could talk to her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just getting time off of work for her.
Work schmuck.
Yeah.
We work too much as Americans, you know that?
Well, she's saving for a car, so you know how that goes, her first car.
I understand. I totally understand.
Yeah, but we'll see what we can do. But I really hope that you get a lot of people out there. It sounds like a blast. I think it's going to be a huge success and a lot of fun for everybody involved, those fans and you guys as well.
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you for your thank you for everything you do. You're always such a good supporter of soaps, the genre, and what we're doing outside of them. And I am appreciative, so thank you.
You're very welcome, and thank you.
You're very welcome.
We love doing this, and that's why we do it. So.
Well, we'll let you go,
Eric, and we'll talk again soon. And keep hitting it out of the ballpark on days because you're doing a mighty fine job, and I see Emmy number 2 coming for you.
I got to keep going, don't I? I'm
I
one for
yes,
one
you.
Now. I can't
no,
now. Everything else
no slacking
is going to be an
now.
Appointment.
Yeah. Hey, Eric?
Yeah.
Eric, now you're – all you need is one more, then you'd have a pair of dumbbells.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're right. Dude, these things are like 20 pounds. I could literally work. Yeah. How about the Emmy workout? Okay, you guys, I got to go. I'm going to go do a video workout.
All right. Take care. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank you so much for having
me
on.
Thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're
welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know how many times I've spoken with Eric either on this show, and he's always a blast.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he is.
I love him.
Yeah, he's definitely a hoot.
I just love listening to him. He basically answers every question before you have even said it.
Asked it, yeah. That's true, and he's always got some great stories, and his sense of humor is just boundless. So, Paul, maybe you should tell us more about John Driscoll's event, since it doesn't seem like he's calling, and we're running out of time here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he said he was going to call in. I don't know what happened to him, but...
Well, it's understandable. He gets held up. You know, he works, so...
We are actually doing his first official fan club event. It is actually next Saturday, August 23rd from noon to 4. It is taking place at Roma Ristorante Italiano, which is in Sandston, Virginia. I'm not sure if you know much about John, but he played Poop on Guiding Light. He played Chance on Young and the Restless. And if you're familiar with Chance's character, he left to go into the service.
Right.
John Driscoll actually in real life is in the service himself.
Is he still in there now?
Yes, he's actually stationed in Virginia.
Oh, wow.
So
he's
actually been off the canvas a little while, and we were actually reunited with him this year. He came back to Soapfest on Marco Island. We hadn't seen him since he went off to boot camp, and I talked to him about doing, you know, I told him we were coming up for this event for Eric, and we were kind of going to go past his neighborhood, as you could say, and would he be interested in doing something. So we are doing brunch for a cause from noon to 4. A portion of the proceeds go to Wounded Warrior Project, as I said before. It's a charity very near and dear to his heart. And, we're looking forward to it. It's just, I guess the thing with John is because he's been kind of absent from, you know, the TV. You know, Eric is on every day. John, we haven't really seen because he's been doing what he's meant to do, which is, you know, fight for our freedom, fight for our country. So it's very interesting, and we're honored that he's let us do this. And there, we're having a small, intimate brunch with him. If you'd like to come, our email address is starstruckfanevent.com. I'm sorry, that's the website.
Right.
All one word. Or you can call us directly. I have no problem. My cell phone number is 813-484-1843. As I said, we're leaving on Wednesday to drive up the coast, and we're going to see him on Saturday. And he's going to be bringing his girlfriend with him. And there's a couple of fans that are already coming that are very excited to meet him. But we've kind of done a reboot of his fan club since he has been kind of out of the limelight for a little bit. And we're really excited to get him in town and get some people that haven't seen him or, you know, have, you know, just wanted to get reacquainted and learn more about the Wounded Warrior Project. And it was an honor for us to be accepted by them. The Wounded Warrior Project, you actually have to go through a process to get accepted as a fundraising event. So we did that, and we got our materials, and we're now, proud sponsors of the event. And so we're excited about that. And he is as well. So
definitely. I'm very excited about that, too. I mean, the Wounded Warrior Project is something that everybody should give to if, you know, they're grateful for our military doing what they do for us. And unfortunately, too many of them come back wounded and they need the help.
Yeah.
So I love that he's giving back to them. Now, what are the ticket prices on this event?
Actually, we're doing a VIP to sit with John and have brunch with him is $150. And basically, we're going to be in a restaurant in our own little banquet room for 4 hours. We're going to do autographs and pictures and talk about his past soap life and talk about his present military life and how the two intertwine with each other and what he's learned being out in the real world. And, you know, it's amazing that, you know, he chose to do this because, you know, we saw him depart on Young and the Restless, and he went away to go into military, and he felt that was his calling. So it's kind of come full circle, and here he is. He wants to get back out there and regroup and meet some of his fans again and talk to some people. So he's given us the opportunity to do a reboot and get his fan club back up and going and do this, you know, brunch, and at the same time give back to the community and to the people that need it.
Okay, and I think that he's actually calling in right now, so let me go ahead and answer
awesome.
This. Hi, is this John?
This is, hello.
Hi,
John.
How are you guys?
Great. Thank you so much for calling in. And I hate to tell you this, but we're almost out of time, and we're just talking about your event. And I want to thank you, first of all, for being able to do this event and giving back to the Wounded Warrior Project with some of the proceeds from the event.
It's my pleasure. I apologize for getting back the past couple weeks. This summer has actually been rather crazy for me, but they said that we were going to be doing a special tonight to go ahead and shed some light on the event, and I was all for it. So I appreciate you for having us on the show. It's been a while since I've actually done one of these. It's the first time, and my God, it's been like two and a half, almost 3 years at this point. So it's been a while, but like I said, I'm very excited. I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous about it. It's my first one, so I hope everyone goes easy on me.
Yeah. Just look for a lot of adoration and, you know, what are you up to and that kind of thing. You'll be fine once you get there. I mean, it's just like me doing an interview. You know, I get nervous beforehand, but then once I start talking and realize that the person I'm interviewing is so down to earth, they're just like me, they're just like my sister or my, you know, friend, you get to be a little comfortable with that then.
Yes. So, good. Thank you for the pointers. I'll take that to mind. I'll have to write that down, actually.
Yeah.
John, we will have a glass of wine so we can all relax.
Oh, I appreciate it. Well, it even helps because I'm not in uniform, so of course I can join you on that. So, no, it's I'm excited. And it's also on my home turf, so Richmond area. So it's a great place, and for those people who've never been to the Richmond area, it's awesome. It's historic. It's beautiful. They actually redid it a couple years ago after we had some torrential hurricanes that came up and some of the bad weather that came through. It kind of washed out that whole bottom portion of the Richmond area, but they've redone it. And, you know, even for the event or those people that have some time there, you know, it's just a really great historic city. And I'm just happy that I can actually do something not only in my hometown, but like I said, benefiting a great cause. I actually was able to work with Wounded Warriors before I enlisted in the military myself. And just hearing their stories and whatnot and helping back, I always felt like, gosh, you know, I've been so lucky and so blessed even in past years with the jobs that I've done and whatnot. I just always wanted to give back. And enlisting was something that I wanted to do, but I even wanted to do more because there's only so much that I can do, you know, within your ranks. And so I figured that, you know, on the civilian side of things, why couldn't I combine the two things that I love the most, you know, being around people and then trying to raise awareness and funds and donations, you know, for those people that I work with and I serve with now. And let me tell you, you hear some of the stories and you're just kind of like, man, I thought I had it bad or whatever. And you just, it brings a whole new appreciation. It brings reality a little bit closer and puts things in perspective. At least it has for me. So if I can raise a little bit of money, whether it's, you know, one fan and $50, or if it's 100 fans and, you know, $5,000 or $10,000, whatever the case may be, anything that I can do to help out, I'm always willing to do that. So I appreciate you allowing me to go ahead and talk about it and allow us to talk about it on the radio tonight.
You're welcome. I totally believe in giving back, and especially when it comes to our military, and I want to thank you for being part of that. Because there's so many guys and women that are going out there and fighting for our freedom or somebody else's freedom, and you guys deserve only the very best when you come back, you know, to show some sort of appreciation for what you've done and to even just give to a charity like this, because so many unfortunately come back wounded and need our help. It's the least we can do.
Absolutely. And it's funny, if I can speak freely.
Yes.
It's weird when people say thank you for your service, and I always don't know what to say to that, and it's weird because I feel like I'm so new to this big, you know, family and this big group that, you know, I just say thank you and smile, but ultimately, you know, I would hope that, you know, just A, for the fact that you still say that, you still thank you, says thank you means the world to me, but please thank those that have been in for much longer, that have seen much more. I thank them. I learned from them. You know, I was trained by them. And I only owe what I've done in my career right now, in the short, brief period I've been in, I owe what I've done to them. So even I thank them. And so it means a lot, but please, you know, thank anyone who's in the military, whether they were deployed or not, definitely, you know, they taught the next generation of people. And so it's my pleasure, it's my privilege, but at the same time, I also thank all those who served before me and trained me and helped me and taught me and allowed me to, to kind of help fill in the ranks and take the banner and keep it moving down the line.
Yeah, and it seems to sometimes run in families. You know, you find a lot of military families out there. My second son was a Marine for 4 years, and he was deployed, thankfully, where there was no action, but, you know, he was still deployed. And as a mother, I worried every single day, and I prayed every day, and now he's finally home with us for the past about year and a half now. And it's the hardest thing for the families to go through as well. When you know that your son or your daughter or your husband or somebody is signing up, you're proud of them, but at the same time, you worry about them.
Well, exactly. It's a two-edged sword. You're happy that they're doing it, but at the same time, you're also worried because now it's completely taken the role of you as the parent, the protector, out of the equation, and now it's on him and his you know, battle buddies, as they say, and his instructors to look out for each other. And you just hope that, you know, they do their best, do their job, and also come home. And, you know, a lot of people love that. A lot of people don't necessarily get that same situation where the loved one comes home. But nonetheless, they all put as much as they can on the line. And, you know, for your son serving, I thank you for that. I thank him especially for that. And, you know, it's definitely a great feeling. And I know that, you know, every day that you see him, I'm sure that you give him a big hug or a smile. And he may not know what it means, but you do, because I know, you know, having them finally back home again is probably the biggest and best gift that any parent, a family member, a loved one, a significant other can ever receive. So.
Most definitely. So we're going to run out of time now, and I hate to cut you short. I mean, I welcome you back anytime, and
yes,
God bless you
back.
as you move along your life path and whatever you do next.
I
wish you only the very best.
I appreciate that. Everyone's been super supportive, and going to a couple of the events that I've gone to since being back and whatnot has been great. It's been wonderful, and there are a couple surprises for the fan appreciation weekend next weekend that I'll be hosting. There are a couple surprises that people who are going to be going to it are not aware of yet. A couple different things I'll be giving away and treating people to. So I'm excited about it. I hope the fans are, and perhaps after the event is over, we can call back in and talk about it and all the good work.
I'd love that.
The Wounded Warrior.
Yeah, I would like that too, John.
What's that?
I would like that too.
There you go. So that'd be great. So, yeah, thanks for having me on. And I'm sorry I called in so late. But,
okay. We thank you from the bottom of our heart, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great night.
Thanks, John.
You too. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, real quick, before we lose, we're down to the last minute now. Please go to starstruckfanevents.com. Very easy to get to. Purchase your tickets online. They have you have PayPal, and pretty much every credit card is accepted, correct?
We have PayPal, and we're also selling tickets at the door. So don't feel that just because you couldn't buy it online, you're more than welcome to just show up at the door and purchase a ticket there. And you can also, if you cannot attend John's event, you can go on woundedwarriorproject.org and donate there. We actually have a link for Devoted to Driscoll. It's D-R-I-S-C-O-L-L, which is John's last name. And you can put some money out there and donate as well. So we're looking forward to it. It's a good event, and I got lucky. I got a lot of great people to work with, so I'm very blessed.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today, Paul. We really appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully one of these days we'll be able to meet in person.
Well, I told you, blanket invitation anytime you and he want to come out. You're more than welcome to. Just let us know, and there'll be a spot at the table for you.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
You have a good night. Have a lot of fun, and we'll have you back anytime you have an event going that you want to promote and get some people out there to see these people that they love and adore on their television.
Thanks again to the both of you. You have a good night.
You too,
Paul.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, my internet went out for a second, and it says on air, but I'm not sure if there's actually any time left. Oh, 10 seconds. So thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks.
Have a good night. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.